Genesis chapter 32. Tonight we'll be looking mainly at verses 24 through 31, but I want to give us our context of this. And the title of the message this evening is Jacob Conquered. Jacob Conquered. Verse 24, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Now, the context of this verse, you remember how Jacob had stole the birthright, how Jacob had tricked his brother Esau and caused him to sell his birthright for a bowl of porridge, and how he disguised himself as Esau and he took his father's blessing in his brother's stead. And when all of this was done, Jacob left in exile, running from Esau. He spent 20 years with Laban, his uncle. And then that 20 years, he was laboring and working for this man, Laban. And now the Lord gives him a command. And he says, "Return to your father's house, and all will go well with you." Return to your father's house. Jacob returning here, if you go back to verse 1, and you see this, Jacob went his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And that word means two camps. So Jacob in our text is returning to Padanarim, the city of his father Isaac, from which he was exiled 20 years ago. And as he went his way back home, God commanded that two hosts of angels meet him on his way. And the Lord sent these two hosts, obviously, for an encouragement to him. He was heading back to his brother Esau, who had vowed to kill him. And God said, "You go back home." And so he sent these angels as an encouragement. And we can see this by the name that he gave, Mahanaim, which means two hosts. We can see God's divine promise of protection in these two hosts of angels. He has now separated himself from Laban, and the Lord has put a host of angels behind him to protect him from Laban, his uncle. And now then you see the host of angels that goes before him, as though God is saying, "I will bless thee. I will protect you from your brother Esau." Is this not true of the church of Christ? Is this not meant for the church of Christ, of which Jacob is a picture, believer in Christ? Let us be reminded by this verse, reminded of God's faithfulness to go before us and behind us. To go before us and behind us, and He will fulfill all His promises to us. As I said before the service tonight, "Say you to the righteous, it shall be well with him." That is a promise of God. That is a promise of God. And no doubt God will go before and go behind us to fulfill His promises. In Zechariah 2 and verse 5, God says this to his church. He said, I will be a wall of fire about thee, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Behold, believer in Christ, that our Savior, in whom we glory and boast, whose righteousness covers us from all, and whose blood atones and cleanses us from all our sins, is always in our midst. He is a wall of fire about thee, and nothing shall touch God's people except God allow it. Except God allow it, nothing shall touch His people. Psalm 121 says this, Behold, he that keepeth Israel. Now who's Israel? Well, that's Jacob, as we'll see in just a minute. Israel is Jacob's other name. The name given to him is Israel. He says, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is the keeper, thy keeper. The Lord is the shade on thy right hand. Listen, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. What does that mean? Not unless God gives it permission. The sun won't even come on you in the midday except God give it permission to. And the moon will not shine on you at night except God allow it. Believer, the Scripture says, The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Let this be our comfort and peace then, so that we should rest upon the strength and faithfulness of God. Trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? How much should you trust in God? With all your heart. And lean not to what? Your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He what? Shall direct thy paths. This is God's promise to Israel, to Jacob. And so then, Jacob being encouraged, he sets out with new confidence. And in verses 3 through 5, he sends ambassadors out to Esau, his brother. Look at, he sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, Thus you shall speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and manservants and woman servants. And I have sent to tell my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight. Let us see then Jacob returning to his subtle nature. Jacob, after being encouraged by the Lord, sends out messengers to Esau. You see, Jacob is returning to his reliance upon scheming in order to find favor with his brother. He believes God's promises and then sends messengers. And notice the subtlety of these messengers by his words. He says, You speak to my lord Esau. You tell him, thy servant Jacob. And he sends them out to show all of his riches. Jacob, as both doing this, he's trying to elevate himself and also show false humility to Esau. These are words of false humility. Jacob says, Yes, I'll obey God and I'll go back, but I need to do something to cushion the blow. I need to do something to settle this between me and Esau. Believers in Christ, let us learn from this, that God will not share His glory with us. God will not share His glory. We are too often trying to please others by our fair speech and false humility. Is that not so? We say we believe God, but then we go about trying to do it our own way. Our own way. And I'll tell you, God shows us here He will not have it. He will not have us mixing faith with our own schemes. God will not have it if we should scheme and plan and try to please men. Our Lord will at once turn our efforts against us. And that's exactly what happened. Look what happened in verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We come to thy brother Esau, and he also cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Jacob finds out that Esau, that he not was only not going to Esau, but Esau was coming to him with 400 men of war. These were men of war. Esau was a manly man. Jacob was a sissy man. Jacob was a weakling man. And his little flocks and herds, he didn't have soldiers among his. But Edom, Esau was a warrior, and he had 400 men coming to meet him. Believer, how many times do we hear of God's great grace in Christ and feel confident and emboldened and feel like Peter? And we say, "Lord, though all forsake you, I'll die with you." And then when the winds of change come, we become like Jacob. Look what happened to Jacob. He turned, his confidence was turned to what? Fear. Verse 7. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Isn't that always the way when we start to scheme and plan and our schemes and our plans blow up in our face? We become fearful. We become distressed. Listen to what my brother Frank Hall wrote. This hit me right in the nose. This is a true reflection of how I felt. He said this, "I have secretly boasted to myself that I am a brave, skilled, confident Christian sailor, while my feet were firmly planted on the land. But when at sea, when the land was no longer in sight, when the sun hid his face behind the clouds, when the dark storm surged and the mighty waves swelled, when the lightning flashed and the thunder clapped, when the winds howled and beat against my little ship, reality slapped me in the face, and the heart of this brave, skilled sailor was forced to confess that he sails better on land than at sea." Believer, you and I, are we not like Jacob, many times afraid? Are we not easily startled? I am easily startled. It doesn't take much for us, when this little boat rocks, for us to confess that we don't know what in the world we're doing. Are you afraid like Jacob? Are you distressed? Then you should learn to turn again like Jacob did to the Lord in prayer. In verses 9 through verse 12, the Lord, Jacob then in distress, he turns and he cries out to God. He says, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth that thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother of my children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude." See, Jacob's prayer here is excellent. There is, if you want a model prayer, Jacob's prayer here is a good one to read. It's a good one to study after. We don't have much time to study after it tonight, but I want you to, later on, you can look at this prayer. It is an excellent prayer. He confesses his sin. He cries out to God. He needs his deliverance. He prays God's word If you need something to pray, you can always pray God's word, can't you? You can pray His promises. And Jacob does that real well. Jacob knew God. He knew that through his seed Christ should come, and he trusted the word of the Lord. And yet, as soon as he gets up off of his knees, from verse 13 all the way down to verse 23, Jacob starts scheming again. He starts scheming again. He is, as soon as he turns from his prayer, he turns from his knees and does what is unthinkable. He turns from faith to unbelief, from the power of God to the power of his own devices. Is Jacob not a mirror image of us? How many times have you turned to God and begged for deliverance, confessing your sin, confessing God to be your only hope, and then getting up off of your knees and turning and trying to work it out yourself? This is nothing but scheming. This is not waiting on the Lord. This is scheming. He turns back. Jacob is a mirror of us when we are afraid and distressed. We are soon turned to our knees. We cry out to God, and then we turn back to our flesh as soon as we get up. And notice how good Jacob is at scheming. I'll summarize this for time's sake. What Jacob does here is he takes his gifts. He says, I'm going to give Esau some gifts, and this way I can appease him. I can appease him. So he set out his gifts into three different droves. He sets out his camels and his cows and all of these things. That's the commodity of their day. All of these things, and he puts them out into three different companies. He divides them into three different areas and spaces them out just right. And he sends them out before Esau as gifts. When I saw this, I was reminded of Christmas when I was a child. Now, as a child, you want the biggest, best gift you can possibly get. You want the best and the brightest of whatever it is that you can get. But I'll tell you this, I remember sometimes getting the best and the brightest, and I only had one package. And then when I opened it up, that was it. It was over. There was nothing else for me to open. And then I saw these other kids, and they had 20 smaller gifts, and they were opening and opening and opening. And I envied them because they had more to open. You see, Jacob understood human nature. He understood that if he sent just one gift, Esau might not be happy. But if he sent them in waves, wave after wave after wave of gift, he said, surely, surely I will appease him with this. That's what he says in verse 20. He says that. He says, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterward I will see his face. Listen, peradventure he will accept me. Peradventure. This scheming only got Jacob a chance to appease him. Instead of trusting the Lord to go before him as he promised, Jacob undertook the work himself, and all his planning, all of his nice words and scheming could only get him a chance at appeasement. It did not guarantee anything. Learn this. Our scheming, our planning guarantees absolutely nothing. Nothing. The best laid plans of mice and man, they all are only a chance. Peradventure, he will be appeased. Believer, may God teach us that there is no confidence to be gotten in fleshly efforts. We must ask, how could Jacob, a man who loved God, a man chosen of God, who was given such divine revelations of Christ, how could he easily be turned from faith to scheming? Is it that he could be lost, saved and lost? Well, we know that's not true. We know that Jacob was a man saved, a man who is redeemed of Christ, called of the Father by grace. We know this, our new birth is not because of our merit, but because of the will of God. And therefore, our sins are no grounds of forfeit for our loss of salvation. How precious is our salvation? How precious is this truth that salvation is by the free and sovereign grace of God alone? Isn't that a precious thing? Isn't that a precious truth? It was God that chose us. He elected us. He loved us of His free grace, not according to any good in us. Christ obtained our righteousness. Christ suffered for our sins on the cross out of His own free grace. For the Scripture tells us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I'm thankful salvation is not dependent upon my works. I'm thankful that salvation is not dependent upon my merits, but upon the merits and righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. Therefore, believer, as we see ourselves in Jacob, we are His chosen, redeemed, and saved by the grace of God, and cannot be removed from Christ. And this should cause us to be not less careful, but more careful. This should cause us to be more careful and have a greater hatred for sin. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul tells us? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. Let us see that Jacob's example here is what we should refrain from doing. Jacob here is an example of what not to do in this situation. That we should refrain from our fleshly devices. We know Jacob did sin because of his old nature that is in him. Even so, believer, are we not prone to sin? We who are saved by the grace of God, is it not true of us as it is Him that we have two distinct natures in us? The nature created by God in righteousness and true holiness, and the old nature of sin. We still have these two natures that are constantly at warfare with one another in our own flesh. And so, as we see Jacob, we may also know ourselves that we are capable of doing such things as Jacob. Believer, remember our fleshly nature of sin that we were born with, of Adam, is still just as vile and full of unbelief as it ever was. I know this, the more I grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, I tell you, the more sinful I see, the more sinfulness I see in my old nature. I see more. It doesn't seem to be getting better. It seems to be getting worse. Actually, it's just as vile as it was before. I'm just now being able to see things that I couldn't see before. Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Paul reminds us, for in his flesh dwelleth no good thing. Therefore, behold in Jacob a clear demonstration of the two natures of every believer. Thus, it was written for our warning, believer, that we should put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man, which is created in God in true righteousness. Oh, my soul, is this you? Do you kneel to God in prayer and faith only to rise up in unbelief to devise your own sinful plans? then let us cry out to the Lord, I believe. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Now verse 24. Notice this. After all the presence, after all the scheming, after all this was done, notice what God did. And Jacob was left alone. After all of that, now then Jacob had nothing else. Had nothing else. He kissed his wife. He kissed his children. He sent them over to be to safety. And he said, I've got nothing else. I can do nothing else. And he was left alone. It is in our darkest times, in our times of fear and distress, and when we are out of plans and schemes and left alone, it is then and only then the Lord comes and wrestles with us. It was only when Jacob was out of options that the Lord came to him. And notice this, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. This man we know is the Lord Jesus Christ, as we'll see in just a minute. But notice that this man wrestled with Jacob. This man wrestled with Jacob only after he was left alone. Do you know that you really can't know yourself until you're left alone? You really can't see and know ourselves truly until we are alone with God. One man said, to be left alone with God is the only way of arriving at a just knowledge of ourselves. To be left alone with God. And now the angel wrestles with Jacob, who was none other than Christ Himself. He appeared in human form and wrestled with Jacob at this place. And notice it was Christ who wrestled with Jacob and not Jacob wrestling with Christ. Do you notice that? He said when he was left alone, there wrestled a man with him. It was not Jacob wrestling in prayer, but rather the Lord initiates this struggle. Jacob was not wrestling for a blessing, but rather Christ was wrestling with Jacob to subdue him. To subdue him. You see, Jacob needed to see something about himself. He needed to be exposed and conquered. Exposed and conquered. Jacob must be conquered so as to know and see his poor and helpless and worthless condition before God. Jacob needed the experience of this struggle to know his own weakness. Oh, believer, we must too learn this painful lesson. You and I are not as strong as we think we are. We must be subdued. We must be conquered. The Lord must and will bring His children to bow down at His feet as we truly are, helpless and weak. We are helpless. Notice how long the Lord struggled with him. The Scripture says, until the breaking of the day, all night. All night. He wrestled with him unto the breaking of the day. Surely this could have been done sooner. Isn't that right? Surely the Lord, who is all powerful, as we'll see in just a second, all the Lord did was touch his hip. And he was down for the count. What does it take for the Lord to conquer you? How much power does He need to initiate to conquer you? A touch. A word. Why does he wrestle so long with us? I tell you, it would surely probably destroy us. If he touched us too soon, it would destroy us. But this shows our long-suffering Lord, doesn't it? Is he not long-suffering with you? He is. He's very patient. He's very kind. He's very gentle with us. How patient is our Lord that he could bring us down in just a moment, but instead, he allows us to be drained. I remember wrestling. When I was a young man, we used to wrestle a lot. And I'll tell you what, that is a tiring exercise. That is tough. It doesn't take long. I remember doing even some boxing. And this guy came up and he said, "You know, I want you to just punch me. Just punch me." And I did. Boy, I gave it all I had. And in about less than a minute, I was exhausted. I was exhausted. That guy hit me once and I fell down to the ground. It didn't take him much. He hit me, knocked me down. But that's what the Lord was doing as he struggles with Jacob in order to bring him low. And in the moment, he touched his hip and brought him down to the end of his strength. See, believer, the purpose of our Savior is to cause us to fall prostrate at his feet. You want to know why he struggles with you? He struggles to make you submit. He struggles and wrestles with you unto a certain point, and then he will bring you down. He will bring us all prostrate at his feet. Are you one who is touched by the chastening hand of the Lord? Are you rendered powerless before his feet? Are you at the end of yourself? Listen, that is the best place to be. That is the best place to be. This is the best place for any believer to be in, because it's only from the dust you'll cry for mercy. It is only from the dust you'll beg for mercy. Isn't that what Jacob did here? He saw that he prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh went out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except you bless me." Jacob went from wrestling to clinging. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine him that was wrestling face to face, mano a mano, and then all of a sudden touched the side of his hip? Now it's not man mano a mano. Now it's, as you see the Lord walking away, you see Jacob hanging on to his heel, dragging, clinging for life. Instead of wrestling, struggling with our Lord, Jacob is now clinging and begging for mercy. Oh, my soul, cast out this world. Cast off thy sin and shame. Rest completely on Jesus Christ, all thy sin to stain. It is only from the ground before Christ that we will really seek a blessing from Christ. And it is only in this place a blessing is received. Look at this. Here's the blessing. Verse 27. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Blessings always come first by way of rebuke. The Lord was here rebuking Jacob. Jesus didn't need to know his name. This wasn't for information. What was he doing? He was making Jacob confess who he was. You know what the name Jacob means? It means supplanter, trickster. Listen, sinner. When the Lord brings His people low, the first thing He does is make us confess who we are. Sinners. I am a great sinner, and I need a great Savior. He casts us down to confess that we are sinners. Listen to Proverbs. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy. Do you need mercy? Are you helpless? Have all your schemes failed and the Lord broken your rebellion? Then confess your sins. Confess. And notice what happens when he confessed, verse 28. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with man, and hast prevailed." Herein is the blessing. You who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you who are bowed at His feet, listen, here's the blessing. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. How many times? Forever. Forever. You shall no longer be called supplanter, but you shall be called prince. This is the blessing you as believers in Christ have. You who sought mercy at His feet, you will find mercy and grace. As Jacob confessed his name, the Lord confesses him to be a prince. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in Thee I find. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on Thee. Has the Lord brought you low? Has He broken your schemes? If you're His, listen, He will. Isn't that a good promise? I'm so glad that He breaks my schemes. I'm so glad He brings me low, because only in the dust will we find mercy. And I tell you, it is at His feet. Is there any other place that you'd rather be? You who believe on Christ. Is there any other place you'd rather be than at His feet? Oh Lord God, please. Break us. Conquer us. And cause us to be blessed by Thy name. I will not let You go until You bless me. May that be our determination. To hold fast until He gives us the blessing. And you know what? He has. In His Son, Jesus Christ, He has given us all, listen, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He has. He's given us an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now what should you do in your time of trouble? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. You know, Jacob, after he was touched here, he hobbled on that all the rest of his life. Isn't that what we do with this flesh? We hobble on it. You can't trust it. He could never trust that hip again. And you know what? I can never trust this flesh again. I can't. I only trust Christ. He's my Savior. And He's my Lord. May God bless this to your hearts. We'll stand and be dismissed.